If you would, grab your Bibles, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to give you a brief charge tonight, and in fact, it only comes from one verse, graduates, and your Bible should have the book marker already in that page where you'll find 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want you to look at the very last verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. The Apostle Paul writes to the church, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Would you pray with me tonight? Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for your word tonight, and I thank you for the opportunity and the privilege it is, Lord, just to honor these graduates. Lord, what an accomplishment that they have shown forth here tonight, just accomplishing 12 years of school, plus in many cases, Lord, from childhood on up. And Lord, that these young people have made a decision to stand out for Christ in those years. Lord, some of them may from a young age, some of them from a recent age as a teenager, but Lord, I am thankful that tonight we see these young people, Lord, who know you personally, have given testimony of accepting you as our Savior, and Lord, are being honored here tonight for their years of schoolwork and now graduating. But Lord, more importantly, I know that they are going on to become, Lord, young men and young women grounded in your word. And Lord, I pray that tonight's message would be a challenge to them, but Lord, a challenge to each one of us tonight to live our life out in a way that will honor and glorify you for all that you've done. We thank you for it. We give you the praise tonight. In Christ's name, amen. First, I just want to say that, you know, graduates, you're entering a new phase of life, okay? Now, don't go on and start thinking that you've got all of the rules of adults figured out and that you can tell mom and dad now, I'm done. You know, it's my way now forever. I heard one of the teen graduates tonight say something, and then mom said, not yet. And so once you move out, you might have a little more freedom. You know, you're going to learn how to have more self-dependency. You know, I think it's great that, Jordan, you took culinary. I was in college. I wish I had known then how to cook a little bit better. I would have ate a whole lot better. You're going to mature at a faster rate now than in the rest than you have compared to the rest of your life as a young child. You mature quick as a child, but when you become an adolescent and then moving into the adulthood and you get so many more responsibilities, you have to mature so much faster. You're going to begin to make decisions that are going to impact your life for years to come. You know, finally, I'd like to just say, and I want you to be reminded of those 12 plus years of school that you had. They were for a purpose. Those 12 years were to educate and prepare you, but not like what the Word of God can do. The Word of God is intended to educate and prepare you to be a vessel for His honor and His service. And you've got the choice every day. Every one of us wake up every day and have the choice to take the knowledge and wisdom that we have from God's Word and use it for the Lord's glory. And every day we can choose to live our lives for the Lord's glory by serving Him, or we can try to live it for our own glory by serving our own flesh. And the Bible's clear that every person, and that includes you graduates and the rest of us in here tonight, the Bible's clear that every one of us should choose to live his or her life for the Lord's glory by serving him in every area of our life. Listen to these three verses real quick. 1 Corinthians 10:31, he says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." It says in Colossians 3:17, Paul says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." You see, the Bible's clear that everything that we do should have the purpose to bring glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, graduates, tonight, you have the ability every day that you begin your day to take the things that you have learned and that you have come to know here at Crossroads under some sound Bible teaching, under a phenomenal senior pastor that teaches and stands upon the Word of God and rightly divides it. You can now take that and make the decision every day, do I want to live my life today to honor myself or to honor the Lord? You see, because if we tear off the kind of the onion peels of your own life and we look down to the root of it, if you want to live for your own honor and glory, we get down to the middle, guess what? It's not so nice. But yet if we try to live for the Lord and honor Him in our decisions, then guess what? The fruit of removing, you know, the Lord is righteousness. And as we peel back the layers of our sinfulness and we allow God to be represented in our lives, knowing Christ as our Savior, the only result is a glorious Savior that we will find. And so my question tonight, I want you to think about this. Church and graduates, how do you live the rest of your life serving the Lord? And I'm going to look at it from the perspective of this one verse. We're going to look at a couple other verses, but I want you to focus on 1 Corinthians 15:58. The Apostle Paul just finished the previous 57 verses laying out how Christ is going to return, his resurrection, the resurrection of the dead. But then he finishes with verse 58 in this chapter and says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." The first thing that we see here tonight, if you're going to live the rest of your life serving the Lord, and graduates, I challenge you to do that. Because every day the world's going to challenge you to not. Every day the world's going to try to put things out there to pull you away from serving the Lord, but every day the choice is going to be yours. And the first key to making sure that every day of your life you can live serving the Lord is the beginning of this verse, and it's this: you must hold to your faith. The Apostle Paul said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye," and what's the next word? Steadfast. Steadfast. But he says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. But steadfast in what? You see, it's got to be in your faith. The Bible defines faith in Hebrews 11:1 as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, true faith is not something that is felt, and it's not something that is just talked about. True faith is usually revealed by a steadfastness in a life of a person who has their faith and trust in something. You know, as I was thinking through how to challenge you guys tonight, the phrase that kept popping up in my mind was, be steadfast. Because I would love to know that you 8 graduates, 10 years from now, have been steadfast in your faith in the Lord. You have held to that faith in every decision in your life and everything that has come your way. And here, Paul does not just ask the church at Corinth. Notice the beginning of the verse. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," he says, "be ye steadfast, unmovable." He puts these two words together, steadfast and unmovable. He's begging the church, I want you to be steadfast, and he calls them my beloved brethren. He has a deep desire to see them be steadfast and unmovable in that work of the Lord, in their faith. Steadfast is derived from a word, a Greek word that actually means to sit, which gives the idea of a firm position. I'm going to show you something real quick. Let me, Jack, come up here for a sec. You're tall. You know, it's not so hard to move a person who's standing up, right? Try to move me. You're big. Oh, come on. I mean, seriously, try to move me. Don't just, Jack, seriously, try to move me. Go ahead. Go ahead. It's not too hard to move a person standing up, right? But now if I get down here and sit down, all right, Jack, try to move me. Was that easier or harder? A little bit harder. All right, good. Thank you for the illustration. That word steadfast means literally to sit. And if I want to hold my place where I'm at, then I can sit down and it makes it a whole lot harder to move. And Paul's telling them, look, I want your faith to be steadfast. I want you to be seated. I want you to be unmovable. You know what that word unmovable means? Not moved easily. It's deep, isn't it? The idea here is that you cannot be moved. You're not going to be moved in what you believe. You're not going to be moved in your faith. And teenagers, you've been in this youth group long enough to know that this is the Word of God. You can put your faith and trust in it, and you can know that there is nothing in this Bible that is false. The entire thing is true, and nothing needs to move you from believing that. There's nothing that needs to challenge your thinking. And back in Hebrews 11, when I read that a minute ago, flip over there real fast, Hebrews chapter 11. You know, when it said that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, what's so neat is that you continue to read through that book of Hebrews chapter 11. And why is it that faith, when it's steadfast, stands out? I want you to see how it stands out. I want you to look at verse 35. He says, "Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, were," you know, it says, "they wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Now, I don't know about you, church, but that doesn't sound like the way I want to live and have my faith tested. But these people were. They were being sawn asunder. They were being left destitute. But then look with verse 38, of whom the whole world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through what? Faith. What was it that led these people to go through such torture and such torment? It was their faith. Faith in what? Faith, and it says there at the end of that verse, received not the promise. You know what? They had faith in God, and the people that it's talking about hadn't even seen the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ yet. They hadn't seen the return of Christ that's still to come. But yet, they believed God. And you go through the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and you see all of these people that were identified in the Old Testament and their faith and how it was revealed. And you know what their faith shows us? Steadfastness. It shows us a steadfastness that was not moved no matter what it was going through. And a lot of times we'll say, oh, I believe, but our actions show something different. You see, about last week, I asked Jake to go out and clean the yard up. We have a dog, and you know, sometimes you've got to clean the yard up. Well, in this one area of the yard, there happened to be some wasp nests up under the eave. And I said, hey, Jake, I need you to go out and clean the yard up. He knew those wasps were up there. So he takes the shovel and he goes outside and he stands about 30 feet away and he just stands there looking. I said, Jake, you're fine. Go ahead. They're not going to bother you. And he just looked at me and he looked at the wasp and he just stood there. I said, Jake, I promise you they're not going to bother you. Do you believe me? He just stands there. I don't know about you, but his actions were showing me he did not have faith in what I said. Okay? He did not want to go near those wasps. But many times as believers, we say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ, but our actions show something completely different. And you see, teenagers tonight, I want you to be the kind of believers that are steadfast in their faith, and when your faith comes under persecution, your faith becomes questioned, you stay steadfast. When your life begins to take a turn and things happen in your life that you never expected, that are completely out of your control, you don't ever doubt the Word of God, and you don't ever doubt God's love for you. Your faith is steadfast. But number two, the second thing that we see tonight is you need to desire more good works. You see, Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. And then he says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I want you to be steadfast, unmovable. And the result of that steadfastness ought to be an abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, that word abounding is pretty neat because that word abounding means to superabound. So what does that mean? Well, the best way that I can explain it is Thanksgiving. Have you ever sat down at the Thanksgiving table and you ate so much that you thought you were going to pop? And you look at the table and it looks like it's hardly had a dent made in it. And there's enough leftovers to give everybody for the next week. Okay, that's super abounding. That table was super abounding. You can take all you want in and there is still more than enough left. And you know, he wanted them, he says, I want you to always abounding in the work of the Lord. I want you going beyond and above what would just fill up, I work for the Lord. I want you to abound. I want you to superabound. The natural progression here is when you're established in that faith that's in Christ, as your Savior, and God's promise of eternal life, a desire to serve the Lord comes out of that, wanting Him to be magnified. Paul wrote to the church in Philippi in Philippians 1:20, he says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Teenagers, he says, I don't ever want you to be ashamed. And Paul said, I'm not going to be ashamed. He says, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. And listen to the end of the verse, whether it be by life or by death. You see, Paul was so focused just on serving and wanting to honor and glorify the Lord. He said, I want him to be magnified, and it doesn't matter if it's in life or in death as long as Christ is magnified. How could he write that? How could Paul have that mentality? Because he had a faith that was steadfast in the Lord. The result of an unmovable faith is a zealous heart for the Lord. Titus 2:14 says, who gave himself for us, speaking of Christ, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. And then here is the result. He wants to reach in. He wants to save you by you putting your faith and trust in him. But then it says, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And that word zealous means excited about, with a fiery passion. You see, when Paul talked about them being steadfast and unmovable, the result of that was their desire to, man, I have to serve the Lord. Whatever it is that I do, I want to serve the Lord. We heard that, you know, different paths tonight of many of the teens and the directions they want to go, but the neat thing is kind of the common theme was they all dealt with helping and serving people in some way. But you know what? You can do that with a heart to say, Lord, I want you to be honored and glorified in it. Whether I'm a paramedic, whether I am a sports athlete or even a trainer, whether I'm a teacher, whatever it is, Lord, I want to do it for the purpose for your glory and your honor. And so I'm going to work, and I'm going to allow my work to be for the Lord. Abounding in the work of the Lord. And then the third thing I want you to see tonight. He says, for much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What was Paul saying? He's saying, look, there's an end. There's an end that's coming, and I promise you that if you are steadfast and you're abounding in that work, that one day you're going to see the reward in heaven. There's going to be a great reward that you need to keep your focus on, going back to what we said at spring camp. The third thing, you got to focus on that finish line. And Paul urged the church in Corinth to remember what they knew about the return of Christ. He just spent 57 verses talking about Christ's resurrection and return and the church being resurrected. And then he finishes up with verse 58. You know what I take from that? Hey, remember Christ is coming back. And live every day like today might be that day. And that means if I know that Christ may live or return today, my steadfast faith is going to reveal that to me. And number two, because I know he's coming back, I want to serve and honor him today like it's the last day I have to do it. And we seriously need to take that and know that the Lord may return tonight. What am I going to do for the next 3 hours if I knew he was going to return tonight? How am I going to superabound in my work for the Lord? You know, Hebrews chapter 12 ties the first point to this last point. You know, Hebrews 11 talks about those men and women of faith. But then Hebrews 12, I love the way that the writer ties it together. If you flip there real fast, he says this in 12 verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. If you've ever run a race, Jordan, I know you did cross country. If you race cross country, you're running cross country, you're looking for what? Finish line. You don't want to keep running and not have anywhere to end it. You're looking for the finish line. And the Bible says here that you run that race with patience. And then verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. As the Christian tonight, church, what is our finish line? It's Christ. It's Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, teenagers, tonight, you need to understand that Jesus is that finish line. Paul just spent 57 verses back in 1 Corinthians 15 explaining who Christ was, his death, burial, resurrection, and his return. And with that is to know that there's a finish line at hand. You need to have a steadfast faith. You need to make sure that you are abounding in the work of the Lord, always desiring to serve the Lord some way, somehow, in some area of your life. Always looking for that finish line, that return of Christ, knowing that it could happen at any moment. You know, the world provides many distractions to take your focus off of Christ, but you need to remain steadfast in that faith, zealous of good works, focused on the finish line, if you're going to serve the Lord every day of your life. Christ has purchased each and every one of us with his blood. He's the owner of our lives. If you're in here tonight and you know Christ is your Savior, he bought you, the Bible says. He bought you at a high price. It's his blood. He deserves to be seen as the owner and glorified for purchasing the lives like ours and making something good out of them. Amen? You know, you are good. If you know Christ tonight as your Savior, Christ has made you good. Now let your faith grow and take you places where Christ can be magnified, like Paul said in Philippians 1. Let Christ be magnified, whether it be by life or by death, as long as Christ gets the glory. Graduates, that's what I want you to seek for in your lives. Every day, seek to honor and serve the Lord. In full-time service, as a teacher, maybe as a physician, whatever it might be, Serve the Lord. Do it for His honor and glory. And see others come to know Him and see Him glorified.